Blog Talk Radio.
All right now. Let's go back down home and sing some of Mama old songs. Listen. Down through the years, the Lord has been good to me.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. And we shall rejoice and be glad therein. Hallelujah. And glory to his name. As the people enter into his gates with thanksgiving this morning and walked into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. We thank you for one more Sunday. Oh, my. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying this morning. I can't get no help in here. That's a shout within itself. one more, Sonny. He didn't have to give it to us, but he gave it to us anyway. And he may start on a brand new day to give him the worship, the honor, and the praises that he is so justly due. We thank you for everyone who has entered into his courts this morning. Sister Rose, it's good to see you this morning. Sister Ann, Sister Cole, it's good to see all of you this morning as they make their way down here to historic Turner Station, Maryland this morning here at 121 Oak Street. This is the Bishop. We're reaching out to you this morning and thanking everyone that has took the time to tune into this broadcast. We pray that God is keeping, for he is a keeper and he should be keeping you, hopefully in perfect peace. Hallelujah. The peace that this world didn't give to you, but the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. This morning, glory to his name. Well, we're in the fifth month. I believe this is the second or the third Sunday in this particular month. And like I always say, month after month, Sunday after Sunday, the time is flying. Hallelujah and glory to his name. I thank God this morning for leading me to the book of Ephesians. And apparently he has a reason this morning why he has taken me there to the sixth chapter, and I shall attempt to read for you at least 8 verses of the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. I believe he's trying not only to tell me something, but also to reach out to a dying world and tell them something. And the word of the Lord, once you have found it, respond by saying amen, and I shall attempt to do my reading prayerfully. I will not stumble as much as I have, but pray for me and pray with me this morning as we read the word of the Lord. The sixth chapter of Ephesians, starting at verse number 1, and it starts by saying, children, obey your parents. Hallelujah, in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, which promise that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Oh, that's a shout in itself this morning, that thou may live long on the earth. And ye fathers, this is also to the daddies, it says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, it goes on to say this morning, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your hearts, and unto Christ, not with eye service. He's not to look at the Lord in your kind of way. And man pleases, as man pleases man, sometimes we please ourselves. But as the servants of Christ, telling us to subdue your passion, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Amen, amen, amen. I believe God is reaching out from on high this morning, and he's trying to tell Sister Ray along with China Station and the rest of the world. It starts off with children. It starts out at home. Children obey. And I'll come back in a moment after the prayer, and we'll go through this somewhat as to what the Lord is saying to us. Living here in the city of Baltimore, in the state of Maryland, as all of these young people are taking lives after lives after lives. I believe it's about 120 now and still counting. And it's not even the month of June yet. But, the Lord would explain that to us this morning. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Eternal God, our Father, we come this morning and we thank you, Lord, for a brand new Sunday week. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for those who have pressed their way out this morning. And, oh, Lord, we pray for those that may be on the way. We ask, still, Heavenly Father, that you would place a blanket of protection around them to keep them from any hurt, harm, or danger, that they may be able to arrive here in your dwelling, looking to hear from on high this morning. We pray, oh, Lord, for this city. We pray for the state. We pray for the county. We pray, oh, Lord, for your people. And, Lord, you know them better than anyone else. For you are the creator, and we hear what you're saying, and we're trying to preach your word and teach your word and explain your word and get it out into the wilderness, into the marketplaces, into the various places of this world, that everyone will hear what thus says the Lord. Now, Father, we ask that you will bless this body of the dying, bless the participants, bless those that you have placed in this holy place. We ask the Heavenly Father that we will not receive any glory, but that all the glory and the honor and the praises belong to you. We are just a servant that has been saved as much as a filthy rag that has been washed in your Son's righteous blood that has made us clean, that we may be able to do a service, a work for you. This we ask in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen, amen, amen. And glory to God this morning, our Father. Thank you, Lord. Now, we find here in the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, starting with verse number one, has been recorded by those men who sat down and began to write the Word of God in the pages of the Bible. And it indicates that we as people, it says that if our faith in Christ is real, or if our faith in Christ is real, it will usually prove itself at home. That reminds us that everything starts at home. It starts in your dwelling. It starts where you reside. It says in our relationship with those who know us best. Hallelujah, somebody. Sometimes we think we know people, and we come to the realization that we really didn't know them at all. And it talks about the children. It says children, first of all, in verse number one, it says children and parents have a responsibility to each other. That means your child has a responsibility to you as well as you have a responsibility to them. Children should honor their parents. Hallelujah, somebody. Even if the parents are demanding and unfair, that means you don't have too much of a say in the house that you preside in. Is that you have a head of the household, which is the daddy, and also you have a mother which stands beside to support the father of the house. And that we are to obey what has been given to us. Parents should care gently for their children, even if your children are disobedient and unpleasant. Identically, of course, Christian parents and Christian children will relate to each other with thoughtfulness and love. That means that it has to be a house that is built on the foundation of God. If you're in a dwelling and it's not built on the foundation of God, if there's not any Bible reading that's going on in the presence of a child or in the presence of the mother and the father, that is, nothing is being said at the table when you gather together to break bread, if a blessing is not presented or a scripture is not repeated from a child, something is wrong. And it gives me the indication this morning, and I say it time after time after time, that the children are not being raised or reared up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. They're doing any and everything that they want. And my thing with this, and I always say to the pastor sometimes, maybe what they need to do is to reinstitute or bring back the draft to give these young people an awareness, because they don't have anywhere to go right now, and they're doing everything under the sun. But if they knew that at the age of 18, the draft says that even just for 2 years, you got to come and serve. And perhaps that's the reason why the world is the way that it is, because no one is bringing the children up to come and serve, not only to God, but also to their own self, to have some type of obedience, to have some type of being a disciple, to have some type of discipline. And they don't have discipline today. Neither does the child have discipline, but also the parents don't have any particular type of discipline. And Ephesians 6 is saying that the children and parents, we both have responsibility to each other. Now, it tells us that we are responsible for children up until the age of 12. Once they reach the age of 12, they begin to come into man and womanhood. And the sin that has taken place before that time is your responsibility. But once they reach the maturity, they are to accept their own responsibility. That is one of the things that is happening in the world today, is the fact that they are not responsible, and we got all of these guidelines set in place, and they realize that if I take somebody's life, I am a juvenile. I don't have to worry for that, because I'm not going to be tried as an adult. So I can take the person's life, spend 15 or 20 years in jail, and with good behavior come out in 12 years and go back to the same way that I was. I got news for you this morning. The world is beginning to change, and people should be opening up their eyes as to what's going on in the world. Listen to this. It lets us know that Satan will fight. Satan will fight with lies. We know that Satan is a liar. When you get there, just ask Eve about the lies that Satan told her. And sometimes his lies, sounds like the truth. Somebody ought to say hallelujah there. Sometimes his lies sound like the truth. He's a good liar. He knows the right words to say and to tickle your ear and to make you receive what Trump would say is fake or false news. Only believers have God's truth and God's trust, which can defeat Satan's lies. Satan only attacks our heart, or he pierces the heart of the human being, the seat of our emotion. Self-worth, he lets us know that because you're not doing this, why you're not worth anything, because if you listen to me, I'll set you in the right direction. Just trust in me. He lets people know that God's righteousness is a breastplate that protects our heart and ensures his approval. Satan has a way of turning and twisting that around and says, well, you don't really have to listen to God. He's not being truthful. Listen to me, I will tell you the truth. But like I say, when you get there and you see Eve, you have a conversation with Eve, and she will surely set you straight. It goes on and says, he approves of us because, and this is speaking of God, he approves of us because he loves us and sent his son to die for us. Satan wants us to think that telling others the good news is a worthless and hopeless task. That's why so many people don't come into the church today. The size of the task is too big and too negative, and the negative response are too much to have. That means this is too much for you to bear. Well, God put more on you than you can bear. It lets us know that God gives us enough, and then he's right there to support and to help us. But Satan, again, has a way to manipulate and turn these things around. It lets us know, but the shoes God gives us are the motivation to continue to proclaim the true peace that is available in God. News everyone needs to hear. That means that we as church people are God's people, and it's us to us to spread the good news, to encourage someone as to the will and the pleasures of the Lord. That, as I've said in many times, when you look at the Psalms, you look at Psalms number one, and you find that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but there is a contrast, because there is good and then there is evil. And we have a choice. And this book of Ephesians, this epistle of Ephesians that was written for us, it starts out by letting us know that things are started at home because of the fact that we have a king and a queen in the dwelling. And it's up to the king and the queen to raise those children in the right manner. If you start out right, you'll finish right. But if you start out wrong, you'll finish wrong. And just to give you an example, everything is in cute, not only in your eyesight, but it is not cute in the eyesight of the Lord. Oh, he's only, or she's only a child. Isn't that cute? Isn't that funny? And you allow that to continue, and sooner or later, you begin to scratch your head and say, I have made a mistake. Because as they say, you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. And, it's proven and is shown today in our society. And everyone is pulling their hair and they're scratching their head. And like I say, the mayor, the governor, the commissioner, the city council, none of them have the right answer. and it just continues to pop in my head. Maybe they need to reinstitute the draft. Maybe this will help curb the situation, because if you go into war and it's an unpleasant experience, but when you go into war, you realize that not only if you're in combat, that you're shooting at somebody, and somebody is shooting at you. And like I've said many times, what you see on television, in the movie, and the plays that are being given, the producer was to cut and take a break, and they get up and they go on about the minutes. All right, let's go back to the thing again. But in war, in combat, it's not like that. There's no pause in that. I had a person that asked me one time, and they said, well, when it's raining or snowing, do they stop? This is war. There ain't no break in no war. You look at Ukraine on the TV and the news, and it's cold over there, and they're fighting. That people are dying. Lives are being taken. Why? Because of the fact you have a ruler who feels as though that he supersedes everything else, and this is his will and his pleasure, and he's going to do everything under the sight of God. But I have news for him. God is giving time, and God is going to bring all of this to an end, and it's going to be sooner than what he said. But also, I place it up and I prophesize to the world, Jesus is on his way back. I don't care how you look at it. You can go through this world day by day thinking that tomorrow is promised to you, and it's not that way. We as people of God need to let our fingers and our eyes do the walking through the pages of the Bible and get a clear understanding as to what the word of the Lord is saying. And I'm saying that God is tired. He's tired. He's tired of all of this murder, all of this killing, all of this abuse, all of this satanic sadism that is going on in the world. He's just tired. And he has proven it time after time after time. If you go back into the Old Testament, you will see even in Sodom and Gomorrah the devastation that took place there. And we know that there has been homosexuality even back in the beginning of time, because men and women love darkness and they do things in darkness because they think that they can get away with it, and because of the fact they like perversion or synthetic acts of things that is not of the will of God, doing this with an animal, doing this with the same sex, you name it, and we claim it. And that's what we do in the world, and it's back to that realm today because of the fact that we have gotten out of the will of God. And it tells us in this sixth chapter, it says, children and parents, reevaluate yourself. Take a example of what you're doing. Judge yourself sometimes by your actions. As the pastor has said many and many times before, when we have conversation, and she says, Bishop, somebody is watching you. There is always an eye on you, whether it's down here or up above. Someone is watching your actions. Someone is watching how you conduct yourself in your manner. Somebody is looking at you. It could be the next door neighbor. It could be even your children. And that's why I say sometimes in of the presence of children, and we have children in our presence sometimes, we have to be accountable of what we're saying to one another and how we treat one another and how we act to one another, because the children are picking up the same thing. And when we're talking on a telephone to someone else and you have a conversation, hallelujah, Pastor, and someone is in the presence and overhear the conversation and they take that and they run with it because they don't involve themselves in your conversation, which is a conversation between two people, and they take that and they run with it and they spread it. And this is how you have all the evil in the world. And then they spread it in the wrong manner. And then they don't tell the whole truth, some of the truth, and they put a little yeast in it to make it rise so that it can bring some hostility into one's life. And it causes one to have a malice of the heart because of the way that someone thought and interpreted what they heard to them and spread it some bad news, just like Satan does when he tells a good lie. Amen. I'm through with that this morning. I'm going to leave that alone. So and that's what I drew from the sixth chapter of the epistle of Ephesians this morning. And perhaps next Sunday I may revisit Ephesians 6 because there's more there in it this morning and so much to talk about. And if you hear some birds chirping this morning, it's all right. They're in the presence of the Lord. And they have gotten in through the ceiling somewhere. And they just come to hear the word this morning and to proclaim Jesus Christ and to let everybody know that he is Lord. Yes, he is. Hallelujah this morning. All right, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to play one or two songs. We will come back and we will have the tithes and the offerings this morning will be collected during the course of the two songs. We will come back and then we will have a woman of God who will come and give us what the Lord has given her this morning, that we may be able to receive, to be able to digest, and to regurgitate it with us, pour it out to someone else in this world that we're living in. And perhaps the reason that the world is the way that it is because we are not professing or proclaiming the gospel, the word of Jesus Christ. Perhaps we are afraid, but we don't really need to be afraid this morning. But we have a song that's going to be sung this morning. But before we sing the song, now y'all hold on now. I know y'all is celestial choir of Sister Reed. I know y'all in control. I'm just the bishop. But let me play these two songs, and then I'm going to ask y'all to sing that song as the hymn of preparation, as y'all pastor will come to break the bread of life. Is that all right? Is that all right now? I ain't trying to be pushy this morning. I'm just asking you, celestial choir this morning, if that's all right, and that way that would give you some time to look at what particular song you want to sing this morning, and for our hearing pleasure. All right, hallelujah. All right, we got a couple of songs, and we're gonna come back with that song that shall be above all songs this morning. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Oh, I was living.
living in a world of sin, had no hope, no peace, but then somebody told me what Jesus did, that he gave his life, God promised him, now I'm justified, I'm sanctified, I'm glorified, his holy name, come to Jesus,
right now.
I was a wretched done, living in a world of sin, had no hope, no peace, but then somebody told me what Jesus did, that he gave his life, not for my sins. Now I'm justified, I'm sanctified, I'm glorified, his holy name, come to Jesus.
Right, here we go. Well, I'm singing Mary.
Oh, Mary, I'm
not alone. I'm singing Mary.
Oh, Mary, don't you not to moan.
Arthur, not to moan. Ooh, oh, Pharaoh's son.
And tell him that it's
your own.
Oh, oh, man.
Oh, Mary, don't you.
Yeah, Martha, not to moan.
Martha, not to moan.
Ooh,
oh, if I could.
And I surely would.
I surely would.
Stand on the rock.
Stand on the rock.
Where Uncle Moses stood.
Moses stood.
Ooh, and I rose on the
rock.
And the time of it joy. Martha, not to moan.
Martha, not to moan.
Oh, no, 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 no.
If I could,
and I surely would.
I surely would.
I would stand on the rock.
Stand on the rock.
Where the Moses stood.
Moses,
yes, stood. I'm not a good I
tell
somebody. Oh, my mother told me.
Oh, Mary, don't you
tell Martha not to moan.
Oh, Mary, don't you
eat. You don't have to cry no more.
Oh, Mary, don't you eat.
You don't have to shed one tear.
Oh, Mary, don't you eat.
Mary, 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 Mary.
Oh, Mary.
Oh,
Mary,
don't you cry.
Oh, Mary,
don't you cry.
Oh, Mary,
don't you moan.
Oh, Mary,
moan, 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 moan.
Oh, Mary,
Mary.
Oh, Mary.
Mary.
Oh, Mary,
don't you cry.
Oh,
God
Mary.
Did it far.
Oh, the
children
Mary.
Of Israel.
Oh, Mary.
He will.
Oh, Mary.
For you.
Oh, Mary.
I don't cry.
Oh, Mary.
I don't cry.
Oh, Mary.
No, 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 no,
oh, Mary.
No, 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 no.
Oh, Mary.
No, 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 no.
Oh, Mary.
No, 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 no.
Oh, Mary.
Let me hear ya.
Oh, Mary.
Let me hear ya.
Oh, Mary.
Let me hear ya.
Oh, Mary.
Let me hear you cry.
Oh, Mary.
I hear you cry.
Oh, Mary.
I don't want you.
Oh, Mary.
No, no more.
Oh, Mary.
Lift your head up.
Oh, Mary.
You're not alone. Oh, tell Martha.
Martha, not to moan.
Tell Martha not to moan. Oh, 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 oh,
oh,
the church say amen.
Amen.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Oh, I got good news for you. It's all right to shed a tear, but you see, weeping may endure for night. Oh, joy will come in the morning. Oh, yeah, you shed a tear for your loved one. You shed a tear for the son that you carried in the womb or in your belly for 9 months, and then you brought him out into a world of chaos, and he went on an old rugged cross that we may have a right to eternal life. But he said before he went on that cross, he says, I'm going to lay it down. He says, but in 3 days, I will rise it up again. Weeping, yes, for a moment. But joy cometh in the morning. When you came to the tomb along with Mary Magdalene, and you looked in the tomb, and you didn't see him lying there, but you heard an angel, according to one of the other gospels, say, why do you look for the living among the dead? He has risen. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Glory to his name. The tithes and offerings has been collected. The woman of God is shuffling her feet to stand behind the sacred desk and to give to us what he has given to her. And as I've said many times, when Jesus, in 2 occasions, when he went over and told him to go and get the coat and tell him that I had need of him to loose him. And on another occasion, he said, with Lazarus, come forth and loose him, take him of those grave clothes, put on some lovely clothes for him. So we're going to loose her in a moment, just a temporal moment that we're having right now, and we're going to let her come forth and give to us what the Lord has given to her this morning. Again, the tithes and the offering have been collected. Father, we thank you at this particular time for the tithes and the offerings that have been collected. We thank you for all that participated. And we thank you for all, Heavenly Father, those that this morning wanted to participate but did not have the resources. And we ask, oh, Heavenly Father, as you have done for so many of us, realizing that each and every one of us have been in a situation where we have come up short, that you go to the windows of heaven, oh Lord, and pour out a blessing that they won't have room enough to receive your account. This we ask in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen and amen again. And before the choir comes this morning, I just like to go back and recap the fact that we have a couple of members here from Sister Rhea that are incapacitated, and that God has blessed them to be in the same establishment together. One on one floor and the other on another floor. And certainly if you're listening in this morning, we want you to realize that our prayers are going for you in your time of incapability or incapacitability. And we're crying out this morning on high that the Lord will hear our cries and just stop by and see you just for a moment. It don't take a whole great deal for him, because his words is in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And that's all it takes. It's just the twinkling of an eye for God to make everything all right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. The celestial choir of Sister Rear coming at this time to sing a song. And as they sing, the pastor will make our way to the pulpit, and we shall continue our service. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now I want y'all to know, Sister Rear, the celestial choir, that y'all not singing so much as us. Y'all got that? Y'all not singing so much to us, okay? All right, so don't dwell on how you sound. Remember, y'all singing praises to God, because see, I can't give you no approval or disapproval, but He approves everything. So you sing to the will of God, and you sing how He has given and orchestrated y'all to sing this morning, because you may be taking an audition, so when you get there, you'll be able to sing with the angelic choir. Hallelujah! Somebody, all right.
This is very true. We are going to leave the kingdom. This is very true. We are going to see the king. This is very true. We are going to see the king. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the king. No more crying there. We are going to see the king. No more crying there. We we're going to see her again. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Amen.
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 Sound all right to me. Sound all right to me. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We don't have to worry about anything anymore.
It sounds all right to me. I like it. I like it. Just keep on singing. Yeah? Yeah, yeah. I'll sing with you later. I'll sing with you later. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, we come, Lord God, just to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the celestial choir, Lord God. We thank you. It's just a few members, but they sound good to me. We pray for Margot Blackwell and Ella Simmons, Lord God, as they lay there on their beds, Lord God. Give them help and give them strength and let them go through what they have to go through, but let it be healthy and wise. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want you to go to the book of Genesis. It's the first book in the Bible, the third chapter. The bishop talked about Ephesians. It's almost the way I'm going. I don't have a sermon, but I do have a few words for you. Amen?
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen. Genesis 3. When you have it, say amen. Starting at verse 1 through 6 is where I'm going to be going. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Yeah.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I was almost at 7, but it's good. It's good. It's good. I have read for you here in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to talk this morning about God speaks and we fail to trust him. He speaks and we fail to trust him. Amen. Amen. God has spoken and has done so clearly. Further, that which he has spoken perfectly reflects his divine character and nature and leads us toward lives that are for our good and his glory. The question is not whether or not God's word is clear and reliable, but whether or not we will trust God's word and his goodness, walking in obedience to him. Amen?
Amen.
Before Adam and Eve ate the fruit in the garden, they had already sinned against God in their hearts. They failed to trust God, his word, and his goodness, causing them to act on their own wisdom and desires, leading to disobedience and death. We do the same when we fail to trust the God who speaks and fail to obey that which he has spoken. We act as though we are big and God is small. We do that. In verses 1 to 2, we fail to trust God, question his word. Though Adam and Eve did not eat or did not need help to question God's word, they had help, and that was Satan, the father of lies, and you heard that this morning. He introduced doubt about the word of God. Did God really say Satan is a real enemy? He is alive today, and he will seek to introduce doubt regarding God's word if we will let him. God has spoken, and he did not stutter. And furthermore, God's revelation is sufficient. He has given us all we need to know, love, honor, worship, and obey him. The question is, will we trust God by trusting his word, or will we question God's word? So I say to you, is it a sin to have questions when we read God's word? Certainly not. We will never fully understand all the depths of riches of God's great revelation. The question is, first, do you read God's word showing his authority over you and your submission to it? If you do, how do you respond when you have a question about what you have read? Do you question your understanding of God's word, keeping God's word as the trustworthy authority? Or do you question God's word, making yourself the authority over his word? Think about it. Because in verses 2 to 5, we fail to trust God by altering his word. The word of God, in its quality and quantity of content, is perfect. Everything in the word of God is true and trustworthy. As is God himself, nothing in the word of God needs to be removed, and nothing needs to be added to it. When we alter the word of God, I say, what is your tendency? Do you add things to God's word, or maybe social restrictions regarding music or dress or drinking? Or do you take things away from God's word? Maybe God's hatred for divorce. Just use this as an example. Since your spouse was unfaithful and you want out, or God's command to forgive, since someone has hurt you deeply, how does willingness to the altar the word of God show that you are not trusting and submitting to the word of God? In verses 6 and 3, we fail to trust God by disobeying his word. The clearest evidence of our failure to trust God is our disobedience to his word. Disobedience is our adamant upserving of God's authority and reign in our lives. Our disobedience says, I know what your word says. I'm going to do what I want to do instead. This is the fruit of our decision to make ourselves big and small in God's word. When faced with an opportunity to obey or disobey God's word, the question to ask is not, does this thing appear to be helpful or beautiful or desirable? But the question is to ask, what has God said about this? Obedience will flow out of trust and surrender. Disobedience comes from the heart of doubt and rebellion. So can you think of a time that you have disobeyed God that did not result from doubting God's word and choosing to rebel against him? Since you cannot ask God by his spirit to help you trust his word and his goodness, letting you walk in obedience to him. So when faced with some temptation to doubt and disobey, Don't be deceived by asking if the thing you want seems to be helpful or beautiful or desirable. Instead, simply ask yourself, what has God said? Then trust God's goodness and faithfulness and walk ahead in his obedience to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because from the time our first parent sinned, we have been bent towards disobeying or distrusting God.
Yeah.
His word and his goodness, choosing instead to disobey God and go on your own way. Whether we add to or subtract from God's word, we demonstrate our lack of trust in God, his word, and his character. We place ourselves above God and his word, making ourselves big and God small.
Mm-hmm.
Those who do not know Christ walk in this way as their manner of life. The only hope is repentance. And I said that the other week. The only hope is repentance of sin and surrender to Christ as Savior. Believers must also realize, however, our simultaneous sins of disobedience. We must depend on the transforming power of the gospel and the sanctuary and the sanctifying work of God's Spirit to empower us to trust God,
yes,
to submit to his word, and to walk in obedience by his grace and by his glory. And I say to you, trust in the word of God, because God speaks, and we fail to trust him. Amen?
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Isn't that the, something how the Bible, the word of God, takes you from the new to the old and from the old back to the new, and it seems as though all the word of God accommodates each other. I didn't know that she was going to come and go to the third chapter of Genesis this morning and talk about the fact as to how Adam and Eve had already disobeyed the will of our Father. They just took it upon themselves that they had a little finite mind, and they were going to use that little finite mind and listen to what the serpent would relay to them, not fully understanding the fact that Satan had come from up there. He had been one of God's chosen angels for a while. And, as people say, and as we say, as the old folks used to say back in the old days, and you don't need it anymore. And they would say to a child, you smell in your britches. And Satan got above himself and felt as though that he wanted to be in control and to lead them in the way into the path that he wanted to go. And it lets us know there is a way, brothers and sisters, that seems right unto man, but in the end it brings about the scripture. And I said that coming from the book of Proverbs, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was the 12th and 14th chapter, that it is recorded in those particular chapters of Proverbs, talking about how we think and we lean to our own understanding. And it backs up the fact as to what I read this morning, coming from the book of Ephesians. We went from the 6th chapter of Ephesians to the beginning into the 3rd chapter of Genesis. The 6th chapter referring to the child and the parents and how they ought to be raised. And if you don't have the will of God, and if you're not serving God, in the Ephesians, it's going to bring about some type of destruction, as it did here in the 3rd chapter of Genesis, by the disobeying God and ate of the tree.
And the serpent laughed at him. I said earlier that he's good at telling them lies and redirecting things to manipulate the finite mind. And we have a finite mind, but God is infinite. That means that God knows all, and we are limited in our thinking. There's only but so much we can do. And without the will of God, it is impossible to do anything. And yet we take that leap of faith, trusting in the wrong source, putting ourselves out there in the deep and find, as Peter did when he begging for Jesus, if Lord, if that be you, begging for me to come to you. Got out there, and then he got out there and lost his faith, looked down, took his eyes off the Lord, and so many times that's what's happening now. We take our eyes off of God. We take our eyes off of his son who came, bled, died in this world, grew up on the third day with all power in his hand. And like he said in the New Testament, and I believe it was in Matthew's Mark, that he says, like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so many churches today need to revamp, recamp, and go back and look at the word of the Lord. It's not about us showboating in the pulpit, putting on a performance, hooping and dancing, running up and down the road, saying this and saying that. It may be all right sometime, but people need to hear the word of the Lord. You have to point them in the right direction. Lead them in a path that they know not of, but also to be straight and forward with them. That is our responsibility, to tell the truth, not just some of the truth, but the whole truth. And so many times you heard it from this bishop, the wages of sin is death, and then there's ours, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen, somebody? Amen. Hallelujah. Certainly we thank the pastor this morning for going back to the beginning in the New Testament and talking about when God speaks or God speaks, and we're not hearing, we're not listening. We tune him out. We don't want to hear nothing about this God, this spirit. It's something that I can't see. And we don't seem to realize the fact that we came from the dust. The body itself came from the dust, formed into God's hands. And because of his love, he breathed in the nostrils. And from the nostrils became a living soul. And then he looked at Adam and said, it's not good that man should be by himself. I'll put him to sleep, and we'll take a rib, and we'll form woman to be a helpmate, to help to lead and to guide together. Not one jumping out, taking the front, and one in the back. But it's togetherness, it's the relationship with each other as well as the relationship with God. And if you do these things, nothing is impossible that you ask God, that he will not give it to you as long as you ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The doors of the church is open at this time. You may come by letter. You may come based on your Christian experience. You may come as a candidate for baptism. The choice is yours. And as I say so many times, if you feel as though that you're satisfied with your relationship with him, because the preacher standing behind the desk don't have that type of authority to say, come on in, thy servant. Well, you have been faithful over a few things, but come and I will make you rewarder of many. This is your reward. I don't know how you feel this morning, but I'm preparing my travel for a crown of righteousness, for that white robe that has not been blemished. Nobody has soiled it with their body, and it is a robe that has been prepared and made for me. Nobody can wear it the way that I can wear it, because he has a way of orchestrating your body. And if you're too large, he makes you small. So when the time comes, you'll be fitted for that particular robe, and you'll be able to wear that robe well. You tell my wife, say, you need to gain some more weight. You don't got small, you don't got skinny. Well, it's preparation. It's preparation. And I say to her, you know, just be prepared, because I'm not here to stay. None of us are here to stay. We're just pilgrims passing through. And that's how we get from point A to point C. And I skip B because B is in between. We don't want to stop at B, but we want to complete. C is to complete. We want to complete the task, the process, so we can hear, welcome in, hallelujah, and look upon his face and see that we're just like him, and begin to take a tour through the city, the new Jerusalem that they speak about, and look around and see Paul over there, talk with some of the other apostles, and see Moses somewhere over here talking with Joshua, and then to see the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and to just chat with him. Hallelujah, somebody. Well, we have come to the end of the service. This morning we are somewhat early, but nevertheless, I believe the pastor has some final words, some final thoughts that she will bring before this body this morning, and we shall come back with the final words and the benediction here at Caesarea. Amen. 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 Come on, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. You know, when I was up earlier, I didn't see Earl, and so I know if he wasn't here, something was wrong. So I'm praying for Earl, wherever he is and whatever he's doing, I pray that he gets better. Amen.
Amen.
And I left him out because I didn't see him, and his rooms wasn't set up because they had a breakfast here yesterday, and we had to set it up later, and we had tables that they had to take out. And you notice that everything is set up a little differently, even up here in the pulpit. Amen. But I want to mention that I've been working on a couple of things to get funds into the church, since we don't have a whole lot of people. And I looked into something called popping popcorn. And so I have it here, and I want you to taste it before you leave. That way, it's an online type thing for popcorn. And you can go online and order it, and we'll have a number that goes into our account. But I haven't read all of it. I'm going to read it later, and the gentleman is going to get back to me Wednesday. But I want you to taste the popcorn and see what you like. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to let the bishop come back and do the benediction.
Popcorn is very good. I've experienced that already.
Okay. I have some here, so I'm sure you can taste it too. Oh, really? Okay, so that's good to hear.
Praise the Lord, Caesarea. That's confirmation within itself. It lets us know that we are attempting to walk in the pathway of Jesus, to help you incorporate this church as well, to bring more members in, and I'm not one to go out and to try to get people to come in, because I believe and I feel as though if they want to come, they're going to come. I don't want to have a gimmick. Jesus didn't have a gimmick when he started his ministry. And I say I'm walking in his footsteps, and I don't want to have a gimmick. I want to try to pay people to come in on a temporal basis, because we know that these doors swing forward and backward, and they will come in and stay for a while and then leave. And so many people come in to get what they can get, all in the name of Jesus the Christ, to move on to find some other church where they may be able to join a larger congregation and to sit in the back or to sit in the middle to hide themselves in the presence of those that are the leaders of that particular congregation. But as I said earlier, that someone is watching you. You may not realize it. I don't care where you go. But the Bible lets us know that there is nowhere you can go to free yourself from the presence of the Lord. He's always there, whether it's in hell, whether it's on earth. If you make your bed, then hell is there. If you take the wings of an eagle and fly to the heights, God is there. You cannot escape the presence of the Lord. And what I'm saying, that you might just come on in, is throw up your hands and surrender. And say, Lord, I confess, I give it all. I give it all to you. Make me a bondsman of your service, that I may be able to serve you, O Heavenly Father, the way that you will have me to serve. And I'm through with that. And now I want to thank each and every one that is listening in this morning by whatever ways there are means that you tune into the broadcast. And Errol, if you're listening in, I want you to know that I love you. And you didn't come today, but we understand. But God had it already arranged, and we had set up the sanctuary somewhat different because of the fact that the pastor had said we had a breakfast yesterday, and next Saturday we're going to have a commencement exercise. So I didn't bother setting up the drums this week until the commencement exercise has been completed, and we can go back and reestablish the drums where they normally were set, as well as the keyboard. Some things we didn't put out because of the activities that are going to take place next week. And I wanted to make sure the guests will have enough room, and those that are coming on their first time for the commencement exercise will feel comfortable. We want to make our home comfortable. We want to show our hospitality. That's how people say, well, I'm going to go back to hear the birds. I hear you, but I'm going back to this church. There was something about it. You know, we don't want to be like every other church. We want to be unique. We want to stand out, not standing out so much as to be famous, but to stand out that they may be able to see the presence of the Lord that dwells in this house. Amen? Amen. And with that, I thank again everyone that has pressed their way out this morning on this warm Sunday morning, and I pray that as you leave from this sanctuary, wherever you go, we pray that the presence of the Lord is with you, protecting and guiding you as you go along your way. And when you come into contact with people, and if you ask you this morning as to what was the word, it was saying to God, is speaking and that people are not listening as to his word. And you can refer them, as I refer every Sunday, back again, going back to the Old Testament into the New, the third chapter of Genesis that was read this morning for your listening pleasure, as to how God has spoke to Adam and Eve and the things that had taken place, how Satan had somewhat beguiled them. And then you can go to the sixth chapter of Ephesians and read verses 1 through and including 8, and it talks about the child and the parent. It is how we ought to, as Christians, raise our children. That is why we are so much chaotic today. The world is in this present stage. This is why there is so much going on and so many lives that are being taken because we are not preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not telling the people the wages of sin is death, but God has the key, and that the gift is God is eternal life. And reminding them that all, I don't care what you do, all of us have sinned from the pulpit to the door. And it's only by his grace that we're here right now. So we have to tell a dying world what God has given us. We don't have to hope. We don't have to holler. We don't have to turn around and do circles and do somersaults, but just tell them the word of the Lord. Jesus didn't hope and holler, and he just taught and preached the word. This is what John the Baptist, who told him that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he preached and he hoped. But everyone is now called to preach for the hope, because God requires or his desires that everyone will be able to enter the kingdom of God. And some of us, like the pastor said this morning, is hearing, but we're not listening. We're not tuned in. And we need to tune in as to those words that are being seen and to get a clear understanding. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless before the presence of his glory, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forever. And the children of God said, amen,
amen,
amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. And again, until the next time, tune in to us down here at 121 Oak Street here in the six-story town of Station, Maryland, where you will hear a word preached from this pulpit from Caesarea Christian Community Chapel, that you may be able to get a clear and a better understanding as to what the word of the Lord is saying. Not a diluted preaching sermon, but something that will fill you and touch your spirit. But that's the only way we're going to be saved, is that we got to hear and get a clear understanding as to what the Lord is saying to us. It wasn't called for a performance, but it was called to preach and to teach. That is to explain, proclaim, and to explain. Until next time, join us here at 121 Oak Street.
Now, let's go back down home and sing some of Mama old song. Listen,
down through the years, the Lord has been good to me.
Yeah.